Here's what we know. A bunch of metalheads have been invited to the White House today. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. By metalheads, I mean several top U.S. steel and aluminum executives have been invited to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue for what could be a major trade announcement today. This could be tariffs on the way aimed at slowing down the import of steel and aluminum. While some senior administration officials have reportedly been pushing back on this, the Commerce Department under Secretary Wilbur Ross has come up with a list of possible penalties for what is seen as unfair exports of metal. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker in London has seen the list of possibilities.
With both steel and aluminum, the options offered include a quite high tariff, it must be said, of 53% in the case of steel, nearly 24% in the case of aluminum, on all products from a specific number of countries. An alternative that's been suggested to him is a rather lower tariff on imports of the metals from wherever they come.
If certain countries are targeted or all metal producers are targeted, the U.S. could expect retaliation. There's already some talk about that coming out of, for instance, Europe and perhaps retaliation by China.
Any country considering potential retaliation has to do, first of all, is to decide whether they're going to do it in a way that is compatible with World Trade Organization rules. And if they want to do it, they need to actually make use of the WTO's dispute settlement procedure, which can ultimately authorize retaliation, but it doesn't get there very quickly.
And that, of course, raises the central issue of, I thought we had a world trading organization to resolve these matters when they come up, and something isn't working from the perspective of the U.S. administration.
It's certainly the case that President Trump thinks that the U.S. does badly, is treated unfairly in these dispute cases. But it's also true that the United States has been resisting the appointment of new members of the WTO's appeal system, which actually now has a number of vacancies, and it is making it increasingly difficult for it to do its work.
So there is still a process to respond to whatever the administration comes up with. So we should not be writing headlines about trade war as yet.
I don't think we should be writing headlines saying trade war is imminent, but there is certainly a path by which you can see some real trade battles taking place through the WTO's procedure. There's also the possibility, though, it has to be said, that countries might decide to simply bypass the WTO procedure. Now, it must be said that that many countries, and I think this applies to a significant extent, particularly to the European Union, have tended to be reluctant to do that. But I don't think you can completely discount the possibility of it happening.
All right. Thank you for the briefing. The BBC's Andrew Walker in London. Thank you for this.
My pleasure, David.
President Trump referenced steel and aluminum in a tweet this morning, quote, "We must not let our country, companies and workers be taken advantage of any longer." The president is also set to meet with the top economic advisor to China's President Xi Jinping later today. There's a general election in Italy this weekend, and if, as expected, a center-right coalition wins the most votes, the media tycoon and former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi will be at the party. Berlusconi, in that scenario, would play a key role in creating the new government, a stunning comeback for the 81-year-old convicted tax fraudster and highly controversial businessman turned politician. From Rome, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
Not everyone is happy that Berlusconi still dominates national politics here. Take charity worker Giulia Rompel.
Berlusconi is, I think, the cancer of Italy, and we're not getting rid of it, if I can say that.
But the tycoon, who began his career as a crooner, still has his fans, not for his singing, but for his political ability. Only he could unite Italy's fractious right wing into an electoral alliance. He's good, says political commentator Patrizio Nisirio.
He has an extraordinary political instinct, who can talk, as we say, to the belly of the electorate.
promising during this campaign to deport more than 600,000 illegal migrants, a pledge that's all but impossible to deliver. But still, many voters like him.
A lot of Italians still think that he's a successful, smart, funny character. He's a folksy, he's friendly. People react positively to this attitude.
OK, he's a convicted tax evader and forever tainted by the scandal surrounding the so-called Bunga Bunga parties, where prostitutes and politicians mingled. But, says political scientist Roberto Dallamonte, Italy often forgives certain sins.
Sins related to women, sex, and sins related to tax evasions are forgotten or forgiven by Italians.
Even among Berlusconi's critics, there's a perverse pride in the man. When it comes to populist billionaires winning political power, it was Italy first. Berlusconi made it to the top 23 years before Trump. Analyst Cecilia Sodilotta.
Rather than seeing Berlusconi as the Italian Trump, Italians see Trump as the American Berlusconi.
There's at least one big difference between the two. Because of his tax fraud conviction, Berlusconi cannot take office. If his coalition wins on Sunday, he'll have to wield power behind the scenes. In Rome, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And have I got a treat for you at long last, like an unexpected delivery of roses. The Treasury Department has put its tax withholding calculator online. Is your employer messing up your pay stub under the new tax law? The online calculator will reveal all. There were terrifying tax tables already available, but they involved math. Simple math, but math. Go to marketplace.org and look for the tab marked Mentioned on Air, and we've got the link for you. You can then redo your W-4 form if you don't like what the boss is withholding. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.